Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody here tonight. We're glad that you can make it out on this chilly January evening. And we are thankful we can be back in church on Wednesday night. The Christmas break is always throws you off schedule. And I am a man who is accustomed and likes to have a routine and how things ought to work in a certain way in the holidays. As much as I love them and enjoy them, they do throw everything off. So you're really not even sure what day of the week it is. Especially on New Year's Day was on Friday. I kept thinking that was Saturday. And the next day was Sunday. And so your whole clock gets thrown out of whack. 1 Peter in your Bible tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I trust you all had a great Christmas and a great New Year. And we're ready to start January. And see what the Lord has for us. A lot of needs, a lot of problems. And there's much to be said. We can say a lot of things about what took place in Washington, D.C. today, but that's the world's business, and we're here to hear about Jesus Christ. I think the Bible has something to say about it, as Brother Lou hinted to, about lawlessness in last days, and we've seen lawlessness all year long, and somebody was killed today down there who broke into the Capitol building. We can't condone breaking into the Capitol building or anything like that. Again, I got to stay out of my flesh. I'm doing my best to stay in the spirit here tonight and not get into my flesh and say what I really want to say about a lot of things. But pray for our leadership, and especially now we have, President-elect Joe Biden and new Congress and all of those that will be coming in. Maybe a strange direction our country will be going, but pray for God to work. And God doesn't need Republicans. God doesn't need Democrats in order for God to work. Amen. And if God can work under Rome and Greece and Persia and Babylon, God can work with the United States and Putin and the Chinese and the North Koreans and the whole, sorry, a lot of them. God's still in control. And tonight we're going to address that topic just because this is where we happen to land in the Word of God in our Bible study in 1 Peter chapter number 2. By the way, if you're on social media, it's very tempting when you see people saying stupid things. There's a lot of dumb people, or at least espousing their dumb things on the internet. And what you want to do and what you really struggle with is just to keep on scrolling. Just keep on scrolling and go past them. And I've seen some things today. I had to hide some people because I just can't handle the level of ignorance that people actually have. It's just, it does, especially from those who should know better, or at least claim to know better anyway. Nobody here tonight, so don't get upset about anything if I'm talking about you or not. So, 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works they shall behold and glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to be kings as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it when he buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Father, bless the time, bless the hour now, and help us as we study your word. May Christ be honored and glorified, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. We want to talk tonight about our conduct. Yet Peter has been discussing a lot of Bible doctrine up to this point. And now as he comes to this section, he's talking about our deportment, our conduct, how we behave ourselves in this world. And he starts off but the character in all this. And he says he calls them dearly beloved. Now, the word dearly beloved here, is really just one big word that simply means that they were loved of God. Now, it's not that Peter did not love them, but he's letting them know that God loves them. And that's a whole lot better, knowing that God loves us, than some man loves us, although we do seek the affection of men. But he's letting them know that by God, they are loved by Almighty God, that God dearly loves them. And he tells them, and he beseeches them. And that word beseech, expresses the earnestness in Peter's plea. It means, I exhort you, I urge you, I beg with you to listen to me and to do what I'm telling you. This is very important, what he has to say here. And there's sometimes in Scripture, there's things that we don't like because they're difficult and they're hard for us to do. And they rub against our nature, and they go against our flesh, and they're contrary to the way we think and have been programmed, and we've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. He said, I'm urging you, this is how you ought to walk. So often in life, we encourage people to do certain things, but they walk contrary to the information and the wisdom we get, and we know that they're headed for a heartache. I probably told you this before. One young man many years ago, I told him, he came to my house, he was very angry at somebody. I said, you need to calm down and don't leave here. I'm going to go and do this. He told me he was going to do this. If you do that, you're going to get arrested. And I encourage you and beg you not to do that. I don't care if I get arrested. And he's all angry and mad, and he left my house. And then I got a phone call the next day from Hudson County Jail. Pastor, can you get me out of here? I said, I told you not to go. I told you not to do that, and you didn't care. If you got arrested, I don't deserve to be here. No, you deserve to be there. I'm sorry. I don't have much compassion for you when you do things that you deserve to get arrested for. I really don't. You deserve to get arrested, so you got arrested. I don't want to hear you'll stay there until somebody bails you out, but it's not going to be me. Now, if you're innocent, then I'll have all kinds of compassion. But amazing, we walk contrary to the Word of God, and bad things are going to happen to us. In our life, we got a lot of things that are contrary, and we learn to walk in the mind of Christ. And he says here in these verses that he says that I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. The believers were not to be at home in this world because this is not our home. This world is nothing but a temporary home. And they were to act as citizens of heaven itself. This is maybe our homes. We may be citizens of this land as far as Americans and part of this country. But my friend, as Christians, this is not our home. And we need to remember that this is not our home. And we are to conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven and not to bring shame to our home in heaven. As a citizen, if you go to a foreign land somewhere, you are to behave yourself and obey the laws. Many years ago, I forget whether it was in the 80s or 90s, there was a young boy in America, broke laws, I think it was Singapore, and in Singapore they cane you. They take a bamboo stick and they beat you over the back. And it became big news in America. Should this boy be caned or should he not be caned? And I mean, it was a big story. And so many of you, oh, he's an American. He doesn't deserve to be caned. And others say, well, he's an American. Then he should not disobey the laws of that country. And he broke the laws of that country. And they ended up caning him. I guarantee you one thing. One, he'll never go back to that country. And two, if he did, he'll learn to obey the laws of that country. I had no sympathy for the young boy. That's the laws of that land. They take a bamboo stick and they beat you over the back. That's uncivilized. Well, don't break the laws. Don't go spray painting on their walls is what she did. And they arrested him and they beat him for it. He'll never spray paint again. By the way, there's very little graffiti in the country, by the way. I'm not saying we should bring it here, but maybe it should take notes. Amen? Understand something. We are to be citizens of heaven and we are to behave ourselves so that heaven doesn't go, look at this, our citizenry down there and how they are shaming us up here. Now, what he gives us here, he's going to give us several things that need attention in order for the believer to keep himself holy and to keep himself clean in this life. How do we do it? Many years ago, my wife and I and the kids were all on vacation. And for some reason, as I'm driving down the interstate in Virginia, I realized, oh no, I forgot to renew my driver's license. I looked at my wallet, took out my driver's license, sure enough, it expired a week ago. And guess what Matt Swykowski was for the next 2 weeks? I was a model citizen on the highways of the United States of America.
Listen, I'm out of state, but I'm sorry, sir, we can't do anything for you. You just have to get back to New Jersey and renew your license. So for 2 weeks, I ran around Georgia and all around the South and just doing what I had to do. I drive like Mr. Yesenia, amen. I was just observing all the laws and rules and like there was a camera on me, amen, and making sure that I was not about to get pulled over by anybody because I could have got arrested driving without with an expired license. So these are things that are going to keep us clean and holy. First of all, he says, I want you to notice the first thing he says in the warning here. He says in verse number 11, abstain from fleshly lusts.
Now the flesh is a constant problem for believers. Before salvation, the lust of the flesh dictated our conduct. Now fleshly lusts, that, my friend, is an entire bag of 1,000 things in there that each one of us has different things inside that bag that we struggle with. What I may struggle with may be nothing for you. What you struggle with, I may laugh and say, that's not a problem. What's your problem with that? Get over it. But we have these lusts, these things that we struggle with and we desire and have issues with. And he says that you need to learn in your life that you need to abstain from these fleshly lusts, these things that are going to destroy you. Now, when we think of the word lust, we think of always something in the sensual sense. But again, maybe it's the lust for power, the lust for money, the lust for things, the lust for your greed, and all. It's a whole entire package of things that we could be looking for. We're learning to abstain from them. He tells us that we must not yield to these things. The flesh is not to dictate our conduct. So often I'm hungry. And we let our flesh dictate us and we pull over. When we're not really hungry, our stomach is just bored. We're not really hungry. You can eat supper and, 10 minutes later, sitting there going, I'm hungry. And raid the refrigerator looking for something. You're not hungry. You're just bored. That's a fleshly lust. I heard recently there's a lady who lost 600 pounds. She was close to 1,000 pounds. Can you imagine being 1,000 pounds and she lost 600 pounds and she still got a long way to go? But how do you do that? What happens? Well, you just don't say no to yourself. Now, that's just her problem. But if we were to look like that with our fleshless, what we give into and our temptation, we all look like 1,000 pounds with the things that we struggle with. I'm not talking about food, but we just have to learn to control ourselves. And there he talks about these war against your soul. Again, these are things that are destructive to your spiritual nature. The fleshly lusts are there to destroy your Christian testimony and your Christian walk. And anything that's going to destroy you, you have to be careful. When we were plumbers, sometimes we work on some drains that we couldn't clear. And we try and try and work hard and hard. And for some reason, we just couldn't clear. And there's a sulfuric acid product that they sell only to licensed plumbers that you can pour down the drains. And that's supposed to work and clear the blockage if it's something that sulfuric acid can dissolve. Well, one day we were struggling with this drain for hours and hours and hours, and we couldn't get it clear. And so we poured the sulfuric acid down there, and we waited and we waited, and it wasn't moving. And so we took off the plug in the basement, and we ran the snake back up the line, and all of a sudden we heard gurgle, gurgle. We knew what was above us in that pipe was making its way down, and would come shooting out the plug because the snake was still in there. We couldn't put the plug back in. And so we ran. And I'm the type of person, I want to encourage you, if there's a panic situation, 9 times out of 10, I will throw you out of my way if you're moving too slow. If you're like taking a walk in the park, I will pick you up and fling you to protect myself. I'm just letting you know. I've done this on multiple occasions to multiple people. No, this ain't working. Get out of the way. And so my boss, I heard the acid coming, so I just flung him out of the way, and I took off running. And he got doused with the sulfuric acid on the back of his jacket. And in less than an hour, his back of his jacket was completely gone and dissolved. Look what you did to my jacket. I said, I didn't do anything to your jacket. That's what you get for not moving. But that sulfuric acid, it has got on our skin before and it has burnt our skin. It's a very dangerous product. But it ate that jacket
to pieces. I've got it on my clothes, and it's ate some of my clothes. My friend, who I worked with one time, he went to work on a radiator, and he knelt on the carpet, and he felt the carpet was wet, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. All of a sudden, he felt like his legs were on fire. And here he is in a multifamily dwelling in Newark, and his legs are on fire. In the middle of the apartment, he rips his pants off and runs to the bathroom and starts dousing his legs with water. The superintendent had spilt sulfuric acid on the carpet, and he knelt on it. Not only were his pants completely dissolved, but his shins suffered major burns, so he was hospitalized and bound and missed work for a month or so while he was healing from the wounds. It's a dangerous product. Dangerous thing. Well, my friend, that's what fleshly lusts do against your soul. They war against it. They're going to destroy it. They're going to hurt your soul. Yet so often we don't, it's not bad. Well, how much sulfuric acid do you have to get onto you in order for it to be burned? Is it a gallon or just a little bit? You just have to get a drop. I had drops get on me and had my skin boil up from it. It's a dangerous thing. Fleshly lusts, left unchecked. There's a man on the radio. He got put in prison. He's out of prison because of gambling and illegal gambling and all the things he was guilty of. But now he's hosting a show on Saturday mornings on the radio about helping people with gambling addictions. And on the same radio station, they're promoting online gambling and all the things with your phone. And isn't that crazy? That's like going to the ball games. Buy a beer, drink safely, drink responsibly. That's insanity. They war against your soul. They war against your soul. So we have to have our conversation honest. And again, he talks about here in verse number 12, he says, having your conversation honest. That speaks more of, a person's integrity. And the word is translated from the Greek word, which means good and beautiful. And conversation refers to more than the mouth, but it means the entire matter of your life, how you conduct yourself. Have your lifestyle honest. People should know that they can trust you. People know that you are of good character and that they can put faith in you. If not, if you do not have your conversation, your lifestyle is an honest lifestyle, you war against your soul. You've ruined your Christian testimony. Again, he says here in these things, again, the design of all of this is that they may be by your good works. Look, he says in verse number 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak evil of you as evildoers, that they might by your good works, they shall behold and glorify God in the day of visitation. The believer is to behave in such a way that will cause others to glorify God, not to reproach God. If you remember when King David committed adultery, that horrible sin he committed, when Nathan the prophet confronted David about his sin and said, thou art the man, you're guilty of this, you've taken that man's only prized possession and stolen it from him, and then you killed him, he said, now you've given a voice to the enemies of God. What does that mean? It means now the enemies of God can say, well, there's David, you know, he's a follower of Jehovah. Look how the followers of Jehovah act. They commit adultery. They murder people. That's a child of God for you right there. And so what he's saying here in these verses is the same thing Nathan told David. He says, you need to have your conversation honest so when people look at you, they can see your good works. Now, they'll already accuse you. They already accuse Christians of being evildoers. You Christians don't get along with everybody. You talk about love, but you don't like this group. Well, we don't hate groups, but we don't condone sin. There's a difference. I don't hate anybody, but I'm not going to condone sinful behavior that God condemns. I'm not going to put up with it. It's wrong. And it needs to stop. But they'll speak evil about us. You're a hater. Jesus talked about love, and all you Christians talk about is hate. No, we don't talk about hate. We just say sin is bad, and sin is wrong, and don't do certain things. The day of visitation here is a reminder that God will indeed visit, and we will have to give an account of our behavior one day. You understand that? We're not going to be judged for our sins, but our behavior will be put on action. What did you do? What were you doing there? What was that all about? Why did you act that way? Again, with all that's going on in the political realm, it's very easy for us to get involved in that and start name-calling and hating people. And I've seen it already in the last few hours. I said, I've got to stay off this thing because it's getting vile on there. It's getting bad. There's a spirit of hatred. There's a demonic overload coming into the country, my friend, if you're not picking it up. And again, I don't expect the world to understand this, but I hope the Christians understand it. There is an unleashing of darkness coming upon this land.
A demonic onslaught. It seems like the Holy Spirit of God has just opened the door a little bit more and more. The hounds of hell are rushing in amongst us. And God didn't say, flee and sit in your room and wait for me to show up. He said, occupy till I come and go about your business till I show up. This is still a walk in the park, by the way, compared to what these Christians were going through when this was written. This is glorious. This is wonderful compared to what Peter's congregants had to deal with. They were getting thrown to the lions. They were being nailed to the crosses and set on fire to light the roads. That's when they start doing that, then we can start talking and complain a little bit. But in the meantime, the lights are on, the doors are open, they know what we're doing here. No one's coming in shooting us yet. Some psycho may, but if that happens, by the way, I will not run out the door and throw you out of the way. I will do my best to defend the congregation. If you're throwing sulfuric acid at me, then we'll get another story. But you understand the situation here. He talks about submission in verse number 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And this precept deals with the laws of the land which you live. What are the laws of the land? Now, first of all, submission does not include anything that's contrary to God's way. If the laws of the land say you cannot have church, guess what? We're going to have church. Amen. You cannot carry your Bible in public. Guess what? We're going to carry our Bible. You can't witness to anybody. Well, guess what? We're going to witness to people. Because look at what Peter did in Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. There's a time when we tell government, I'm sorry, and we're respectful, and we're kind, and we're gracious, but we do what God told us to do. In Acts chapter number 5, they came up with a law saying, you can't preach or teach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. You guys have to shut up. You know, we've got freedom from religion around here. We don't want you right-wing nut jobs, preaching your Jesus to everybody. And that was the crowd that wanted to get along. That was the tolerant ones, you know. That was the crowd with the coexist bumper sticker on their car. And as soon as you do anything that they don't like, they want to ban you and get you fired. Now, in verse 28, he says, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine,
and intending to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered, said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We obey God. Now, Peter was submissive to the laws of the land, but when the laws of the land were contrary to God's laws, Peter said, we obey God first. And God's rules are always obeyed over men's rules. And so whatever rules this new Congress comes up with, and it's going to be a doozy, by the way. They had some guy open in a prayer the other day praying to all pagan gods and basically demonic spirits, and then closed this prayer with an amen and an a woman like an idiot. Anybody who says a woman after a man is a moron. I just want you to know something right there. He's invoked a demonic spirit upon the country, and all those people in Congress just sat there like a bunch of idiots and put up with that nonsense. But this is what we got in America today. We got mega churches. We got some woman on the platform recently, and I can't even talk about what she talked about because it was blasphemous. I think the angels in heaven, and she took this, just weird. And people, and a church of 1,000 people all laughing as this woman sitting there talking filthy. And that's church today in America. That passes for church today. And you and I are the problem. So submission does not mean we forsake the laws of God, just do whatever men tell us to do. No. The difficulty of submission, he says, to every ordinance of men, whether it be kings or unto governors, as unto them that are sent, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them to dwell. Not all the lands will be likable, but submission is to be to all of them, regardless of the ruler. There were people, listen, I'm old enough, let me go back in time, okay? I'm going to be 57 soon. But I can go back and I remember the first president I really remember would be Richard Nixon. And I was born in 64, so LBJ was just a nothing. But I remember Nixon. And I remember Nixon was hated. Nixon is not my president.
Gerald Ford is not my president. Jimmy Carter, he's not my president. Ronald Reagan's not my president. George Bush is not my president. Bill Clinton is not my president. George Bush is not my president. Barack Obama is not my president. Donald Trump is not my president. Joe Biden, he's even Facebook pages now. Joe Biden is not my... Well, guess what? They are. All right? They are. On the front of our prayer list, it has our leaders. And on there it says President Donald Trump. And I'm waiting to make up the new prayer list. We got new missionaries and all kinds of stuff. And when the day comes, I will put President Joe Biden. And then in 3 more months, I'll cross that out and put President Kamala Harris. Okay? All right? All right?
When they take him and they wheel him out. All right, I just want you to know. Because that's the... Well, he didn't cheat. He was cheating. Whatever. Whatever. It's not my country. Right? I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. This thing's going down anyway, folks. Stop trying to save the Republic and start trying to save some sinners. Because that's all that really matters when it's all said and done. You're not a patriot. I'm a patriot. I love this country. I'll pick up a gun and go to war and fight for it. I really will. I may not be able to run like I used to. I'll probably get shot the first day because I can't run. Or maybe I'll grab somebody and put them in front of me. But no matter what happens, I love my country. But I love that country more. I have a Savior. So I am to submit myself to all the leadership of this country. And again, the battle's over. It's done. Today, it's done. I don't think there's anything left to do. Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States. Or really Nancy Pelosi. But whatever the case may be. So not all the laws of the land are pleasant laws. Who knows what laws these people are going to come up with? These people can't wait to pass crazy on us. They really can't. This bunch can't wait to kill babies. They want to. They can't. They want to kill them at all ages. They're just. This bunch is just wicked. President Donald Trump made this statement: "I am the most pro-gay president ever." And he probably was. Of course, Barack Obama. President Obama did some things, made gay marriage legal.
This bunch coming in will take it up 10 more notches in that direction. They really will. And they're going to try and force all of that stuff on Christian schools and all kinds of other things. They really are. Now, but we are to submit ourselves, submit yourselves, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings as supreme or unto governors. I'm not a fan of our governor. I pray for his salvation, but I'm not a fan of him. I pray that someday he can get to an orthodontist and get taken care of. But I pray for our governor. He needs to be born again by the Spirit of God. If not, he's going to die and split hell wide open right now, along with a bunch of them. But we need to pray for them. And he says, submit yourselves to all these things for the Lord's sake. Why are you doing this? You're doing it for the Lord's sake, not for the king's sake, not for the governor's sake, but for the king's sake. You're doing it. So again, that's your motive for why the reason we live and we act, because it's for the Lord, not for you and not for them. Because this bunch, no matter what bunch it is, really are not worthy of our respect. But we do it for the Lord. Because understand this, God allows things to go on. God allows people to rule. He does. There's a lot in there, but he does. And again, there's a design in this submission that with well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men in verse number 15.
The ignorance here is of God. People are ignorant of God. They truly are, and they're growing more ignorant as the days go on. They have no idea of who God is, no idea of the Bible or anything about the Bible anymore.
But unfortunately, the unholy and worldly lifestyles of some Christians keep the world in the dark as to the character of God. You got Christians who are not married, living together, having kids together, and the world looks at us and says, well, I guess that's what Christians do. No, it's not what Christians do. Well, that Christian drinks and gets drunk, I guess that's okay. No, that's not what Christians do. That Christian curses and like a stormtrooper, I guess that's Christians. No, that's not what Christians are supposed to do. It's not. So sadly, there's a lot of people out there who claim the name of Christ who have very little Christ. I met a man one time, I was getting gas, I knew this guy, I wanted to avoid him, but I was stuck in the gas station, he comes walking through, and he's like, hey, you Baptists don't believe in the Holy Spirit of God. I go, here we go. I said, yes, we do. No, you don't. You don't believe in speaking in tongues, I said. And so we had this conversation, a very lengthy conversation. And then he started dancing around on one foot around the parking lot of the gas station, speaking in unknown tongues. Shamalama ding dong and the whole 9 yards as he was bouncing around. And I'm like, you know, that's not the gift of tongues. I said, you know, you're not even obeying the scriptures. I said, first of all, this is your girlfriend, right? Are you living with your girlfriend? Yeah, you shouldn't be living with her. That's a violation of scripture right there. I said, number two, you got that big, giant, long ponytail. Have you read the first, that same book you're using to quote tongues, the same book that says you shouldn't have long hair. It's a shame for you to have long hair. And you shouldn't be doing that either. It's amazing how many verses we just pick and choose what we like in the book and throw the rest out. This isn't the buffet, okay? This is not... The place where you eat everything on the plate, whether you like it or not. He didn't like what I had to say. He got mad at me. I didn't like what he had to say either, so we were all equally mad, and we were good. I had a good time as I drove off. But, you know, you can't do so. You know, you're going to tell everybody. By the way, everybody who knew him hated him. The gas station attendant, who's a Muslim, saw him. I walked to a Chinese restaurant one time with a preacher friend of mine, and I said, I'm going to watch the workers in the restaurant to see what kind of reaction they give when they see this guy walk in. Because I knew there was issues there. And as soon as he comes walking in, he's, hey! And everybody in the restaurant, That's not the reaction you want to get from people. They should be glad to see you. Or know you're a friend, not because you annoy the living daylights out of them. I'm not talking about just witnessing, I'm just talking about being annoying. Because there's some people just annoying. What are you talking about? None of you, you're all wonderful. But there are some people just annoying. They just, it's like, just stop. It's not all bad all the time, just stop. It's, you know. Anyway, so there's submission. There's stewardship, he talks about in verse number 16. He says, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. And again, some can pervert the best of situations to justify evil. First of all, the blessings of liberty. Liberty, salvation makes one free from the condemnation of sin. And the gospel has removed one from the obligation of the ceremonial law. I saw somebody, a Christian the other day, post something saying, if the Bible says we shouldn't eat pork, then it's a sin for us to eat pork. I'm like, first of all, that's the law. That's the law. Nowhere in the New Testament did Jesus say, you know, you shouldn't eat a bacon and egg sandwich. It's a bad... No. That's not understanding Scripture. We can eat what we want. But our liberty in Christ has removed us from the laws. I don't have to... I can't do this and I can't do that. I have liberty in Christ to live for Christ. Again, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Again, some have used the liberty of the gospel, which they say they're not under the law, as an excuse for doing evil things morally. Well, you know, as I'm saved, I can do this. I can live with my boyfriend. I can drink and I can get drunk and I can cheat at work because I'm a Christian and I'm forgiven. No, you don't use your Christianity to do sinful things. You don't. Well, you know, we joke sometimes about it. Well, I'll confess this later on, and Jesus will forgive me. No, that's not how it works, because your heart's not right. It's not. Your heart's not right. So our Christian liberty is not to say, I can do whatever I want. And by the way, I can go out tonight, and I could get drunk, and I could do all kinds of things and still go to heaven. Because I don't believe, the Bible teaches I can't lose my salvation. But I don't do those things because I am a Christian. And the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within me doesn't want to go out and do those things anymore. I'm saved by the grace of God. He talks about, again, this business of liberty. We're servants of God. We are freed from the shackles of sin. We're no longer servants of sin. We're servants of God. Servants of Almighty God. He says in verse number 17 that we're to honor all men. Honor all men. This means to treat all people with the common and proper courtesies of life. It does not mean to honor all men regardless of their character. Some people are not worthy of our honor because they may be bad or reprobates, and we just have to deal with them. But in this, we are to treat all people with common decency and not judge people on the character of their skin or their status in society. You can always tell a lot by a man's character and how he treats people he doesn't need. You know, and there's a lot of people in this life you don't need because they got nothing they're really going to offer you. The world's filled with people like that. But sometimes you see people kissing up to somebody with money. I know people, if they think somebody's got money, they're all over them like a cheap suit, hoping that somehow they'll get in the will. Somehow that says, hey, here's $10,000 just because I like you. No, that's not how those people work, by the way. But I know, you know, they'll jump over 20 poor people and trample them to death to suck up to that rich person or the person they think has got money. There's an old movie, it's a very funny movie from years ago, but black and white, and called George Washington Slept Here. And in the movie, their uncle comes to visit them. They all hate this uncle, but they're all nice to him because he's rich. They give him the favorite chair. They let him smoke cigars in the house. He does all this thing. And it turns out at the end of the movie, when they desperately need money and they're going to get evicted from their home, they ask their rich uncle, and he has to spill the beans. Listen, I've been broke for years. I lost my money in the Great Depression. I got nothing. I've just been using this, that line to basically mooch off all my relatives. You know, that's but a lot of Christians do that, though. We honor somebody because we think, man, I'm going to get something out of this. And the Lord warns us about that, you know. Somebody, affluence comes in. Ooh, here, you sit here. You give them the best. We don't have any good seats in the house. They're all good. Amen. It's all the same chairs except for the Herbert chair. But they're all good. Amen. If you don't know what the Herbert chair is, I don't have time for that story tonight. Now, love the brotherhood, verse number 7. Believers are to have affection for believers. And this gives a good testimony to the world. Don't go to work. I was at church last night, and so-and-so was there. That guy annoys me. And the world's like, really? Guy in church annoys you? Take note of that. What, that lady in church annoys you? That's interesting. Christian doesn't get along with another Christian. And by the way, 9 times out of 10, when somebody's speaking evil about everybody else, let me give you an illustration. Years ago when we were plumbers, we went to this house in town, the superintendent, a large apartment building, and the lady would say, oh, Matt, I'm glad you're here. I like it when you come here because when Dave comes, Dave always messes things up. And then when Dave would go there, oh, Dave, I'm glad you're here and not Matt. And she didn't think that Dave and I actually communicated and actually talked to each other. You know, we only worked together for 5 years. We do talk all the time. And we're like, yeah, we have to go to the, I guess that superintendent annoys me. You know what she said about you? I'm like, well, she said the same thing about you. That lying, no good, stinking woman. And but, you know, be careful. Be careful. Love the brotherhood. We're to fear God. The duty, again, in verse number 17, is enjoined on mankind everywhere in the Bible. It's the duty which believers should especially fulfill. A problem in the world is that we fear everything but God. Fearing God includes respect of God, believing God, and obeying God. So again, we are to fear God. Honor all men, love the brother, but fear God. Our Lord warned us, don't worry about those who can kill just your body, but fear the one who can kill your body and soul in hell. Worry about him. Fear God. In verse 17, he says, honor the king. Now, we don't have any kings in this country, but we understand the ideology here. This means to give due honor to authority. It means to honor the office. I got pulled over by a trooper in Georgia one time. I was coming down a dirt road, and I could see for 300 miles in that direction, and I could see for 300 miles in that. South Georgia is flat. There's not a hill. The biggest mountain in South Georgia is the speed bump at McDonald's. And so I was just, there's nobody coming. And I slowed down and made the turn onto the paved highway. And next thing I know, a state trooper pulls me over. I get out, I'm standing behind the car. He's looking at my license. And how do you pronounce this name, boy? I'm like, boy. I thought, Swiekowski. What are you doing down here in Georgia? It's like, it's still America, isn't it? Like, what is this, 1949? What is this? Yeah. What are you doing down here in Georgia? It's like, my wife is from this town, and her grandmother's in the car. She lives here in town. Well, I don't know how you all drive up in New Jersey. Down here in Georgia, we stop at stop signs. And a guy came up to hear on me. You know? Get out of my face, you know? But you know, I didn't do that. I said, yes, sir. Because it wasn't him, per se, who had nothing to do all day except wait for some Yankee to come by. I said, yes, sir. I'm going to let you go this time, but just be careful. Yes, sir. I was let loose by Deputy Fife. And off I went. Now, my friend, I was going to ask if I could see the bullet in his pocket, but I said, no, I better not. But again, I respected him because it was the badge that deserved the respect. Again, he was kind to me, but he was letting me know that he's the guy in charge. And there I am, a guy with an in-law, grandmother in the car, my wife, and a bunch of kids all in the car. We honor the king. My friend, last 4 years, President Trump was the president. He should have been honored. People should have honored, but they did not. Many did not. Barack Obama was the president before that. He should have been honored. Many did not. Now we're going into Joe Biden era and probably Kamala Harris. I guarantee you, if I was a prophet and I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would bet the ranch and grandma that come June, Joe is locked up, drooling somewhere, and Kamala is the president. Just, and who knows who's going to be the vice president, who they're going to pick after that. Nancy, you think so? I'm getting the flesh here, but they got to pick somebody transgendery. We haven't had one of those yet. We don't elect people on the basis of qualification. We elect people on who hasn't done it yet. You know, all right. We got the first African American. We got the first this guy. We got the we haven't had this group yet, and so we got to have a transgender space alien to make sure that we don't offend the outer space people to fit the group. That's how we operate in this country now. It doesn't matter what qualifications you have. You've got to be in a certain group and category. But we need to honor the king. If Joe Biden comes here, we say, hello, Mr. President. All right? He's Mr. President. We honor the king. The mayor of Kearney, that's the Honorable Mayor Santos. We honor the king. We are to be respectful. The mayor was in our church one time for a historic tour back in the 150th anniversary of the town. They came to our oldest church building in town. We had a little thing here, not a church service, but a little tour. And the mayor was in here. I was very respectful to the mayor, talked to him, gave him a gospel tract, honor the king. He says, subjection, servants be subject to your masters. Again, we could read this for today's applications. Employers, be in subjection to your boss. Sometimes our boss, you may have a boss that doesn't know anything. You really might have a boss that doesn't know anything. But you may have a boss who knows more than you, but you think you know more than him, even though you don't. But we are to be in subjection. These are things, again, all goes back to our conduct here on this planet and our life here. Because he says in these verses, in verse number 20, he says, well, what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Taking the suffering patiently really shows submission. We think of some great examples in the Bible. Who took beatings? Who was buffeted when they were innocent and they took it? The biggest example, I think, besides the Lord himself, and we think of men that we can identify with, we think of Paul and Silas. And what happened to them and Philippi and how they were beaten and thrown into jail. And if they were like most Christians, they would have been cursing and screaming and looking for their lawyer. But instead, they were singing praises and praying to God. And when it was all said and done, the Philippian jailer got saved in his household. But as the average American Christian, that jailer would have died and went straight to hell because we've been screaming at him, I hope you go to hell, and I'm, you know, God's going to take care of me, God's going to judge you, you reprobate. Instead of saying, hey, you know. But he led them to Christ because they kept a Christ-like attitude. They obeyed these rules here. They did what they were supposed to do. So we are to be understand our responsibility as Christians. And in Christianity, there is submission to authority. And yet we see today there is, people don't want to submit. We saw the BLM movement. We saw the Antifa movement. And again, the jury's still out on who exactly broke into the Capitol today. A lot of Trump supporters. There's evidence that there was also Antifa members dressed up as Trump supporters there. I mean, there's a lot of crazy today. But that's not what we do. We can go down to a rally and we can make our voice known, but we don't break in and try to kill and hurt and destroy anything. That's not what we're about. You can go to, they're going to have a pro-life rally in a few weeks down there in D.C. on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and you can go down there and let your voice be. But we're going to blow up an abortion clinic. We don't do that. That's not what we do. That's not what we're about. The Christians are law-abiding citizens. Why? Because it goes back that we are citizens of heaven, and we are to abstain from the things that war against our soul. Well, Father, bless this time, bless this hour now. Help us to be the Christians we need to be, and help us as we walk for you. Bless this time, this hour now. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to take an offering tonight for the work of the Lord, and if I can have some ushers come on down here.